Recorded live.
Recorded live again from the banks of the Sacramento River. This is Chuck Bartok joining everybody this morning for the 321st episode of the Focus Society of Overachievers. And we've missed a few weeks. I think we've missed 4 weeks in the last umpteen years. And, various health problems pop up and travel and so on. And it's always been a delight every Tuesday morning to join you, the people around the world that have globally listened to our episodes live and joined us live. And, of course, our downloads, we appreciate everybody all the time. And those of you who are familiar with Focus Society of Overachievers, this was I don't hate to use the word brainchild, but I always felt that it's fun to share things. And I read some books when I was 17 years old, which was way too many years ago, that inspired me to live in a certain direction. And when I came online 6 years ago, I've always told people about things one-on-one, face-to-face, and I found this a wonderful venue to share ideas. And this is a talk show format. There are no lecturers or gurus here. However, today, we're very privileged. We occasionally have guests, and we're going to pretty much focus the show today on our guest, Claire McGee, an authoress from Nova Scotia. And she's a highly qualified professional in her field. We're going to talk about that a little bit. She wrote a book that was published in April of this year by Callisti Publishing. Mr. Tony Mihelski, the publisher, happens to be online also. And the book's title is I Believe, Therefore I Am. Subtitle, How to Deliberately Live Your Life by Programming Your Mind for Success, Happiness, Love, and Fulfillment. And it's just so amazing that this book, it's not a very thick book, but it's a very easy read and one that you don't just read once. It's one that you keep by your side as a reference. The subtitle of this book is the summation of this show over the last 320 episodes. So we're going to, I can go through the bio and I'm going to let Claire tell the story. I think the horse's mouth is the best place. And without much further ado, first of all, I want to welcome our guests so far. We do have Sam Camerano in Phoenix, Arizona, Mr. Tony Mihelski of Callisti Publishing, Gerara King, another accomplished author from Washington, D.C., and, of course, Claire McGee. And before we get started, I want to verbally mention, and this will be said many times today, your sponsor today is I Believe, Therefore I Am, and you can order the affordably priced book at youcanbuild.it/\, capital I, and then lowercase believe. Again, youcanbuild.it, capital I, believe, lowercase. We'll mention this several times today. That'll put you right to Callisti Publishing's synopsis of the book, and I suggest everybody order a copy, and don't read it, live it. So, Claire, thank you very much for joining us this morning, and I would love you to start out sharing a little story about you and how you got to where you were and what prompted you to write the book. Thank you.
Thank you very much, first of all, for having me, and I love what you just said. Rather than read it, live it. That is fantastic. I like that. I may actually use that quote if you let me.
Sure.
Yeah. A little bit about myself. I'm 37 years old, and when I was 28, I was diagnosed with a rare muscle disorder, and when that happened, well, my life kind of fell apart, or in my mind, it fell apart. I went from being a highly successful businesswoman, made very good money. I moved up in the company very far, to basically being told I had to retire. I had a stroke when I was 29, and I was basically left an invalid with very little medical staff could do. And I went through a very long period of depression, low self-worth, hating the world, hating everything, questioning everything. And it got to a point where I was really kind of sick and tired of being sick and tired. And there's a really great quote from a movie, Shawshank Redemption, by Tim Robbins. He says, "It comes down to a choice. You either get busy living or get busy dying." I got to a point in my life where I decided to think I better get busy living. I had to do something about it. So I started to really develop a clear understanding of the reason I was where I was, you know, what caused me to be there, what was happening, all of these things. And a lot of insight came into play, as well as education. I went back to school. I got a master's degree in metaphysics, and I studied the relationship between our mind, our subconscious mind, as it relates to human behavior. And I became very, very aware of the reality I was creating. And because I became aware of it, I started to determine what I could do about it to change it. And throughout the process, I went from walking with a cane and being unemployed and sitting on the couch all day to being very successful, author, motivational teacher. I'm a life coach, and I am making a very prosperous life for myself. Once all of this came into play, I thought, you know what, if I can do this, if stubborn me can do this, then everybody, anyone can do it when they're ready to do it. When they're at that point where they say, you know what, yeah, I'm ready for this, I'm taking control of my life, then that's what they should do. They read the book, like you just said, rather than read it, live it. And so that's what inspired me to write the book. I wanted to share it with everyone. One of the biggest challenges that I found when I was getting well was there was the talk, you know, the law of attraction, you know, what you believe, create, what, you know, you have to believe it to make it happen. Well, the biggest challenge I had was that my self-worth was so low that all I believed was that life was meant to be hard.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was the moment where I thought, well, if all you have to do is believe it to make it happen, what is it I have to do to get my mind to believe? That is actually an interesting question. And I had a difficult time finding answers in resources that were available, or at least at the time for me. I had a challenge finding it, and I got really frustrated. So I decided to ask myself, Claire, what are your beliefs? What do you believe? And I recognized that, you know, I was a really angry person. And I thought, okay, so what's caused these? And there was patterns in my life. I created these beliefs through constantly having these types of experiences. And then I came to realize I'm a very habitual being. It's habits, very habitual. You know, I reacted a certain way every time a certain experience happened, or I you know, I did this because that's what I always do, this type of thing. And I recognized I'm really habitual, and I thought, well, that's what creates our beliefs. It's these habits and patterns that we keep on repeating over and over in our life. So then that's what made me realize, okay, Claire, if you really want to get your mind to believe in your ability to do the things you choose to do, then you have to create these new habits. And that's what I started to do. I started to develop personalized programs that helped me to achieve that result.
And in your book, the thing that fascinates me about the book, and I'm sure everybody listening today, tomorrow, and in the future when they get their copy, what I love, you did something that some of the authors that we've discussed here, I point back to Charles Hanel. You offer exercises. You actually say, put the book down and don't look at it for another week, but mm-hmm. do this. Mm-hmm. In other words, it was this kind of exercise that allowed you to modify, I don't want to say modify, but study your beliefs and then decide which ones you want to throw away and which ones you want to expand upon.
Right. Yep, absolutely. It's one thing to it's one thing to, you know, be interested and you know, want to do something, and you read different things, and there's a lot of amazing tools out there that are available. It's quite another when you actually put it into action.
Mm-hmm.
It's important to put it into action. Once you've made the choice that now is the time, you have to put it into action. If there was a magic pill in the world that the light bulb goes on, you know, you read something, you hear something, or what have you, and the light bulb goes on and your world magically changes, my gosh, you know, I would be taking that pill 10 years ago. I would have been first one on board with that. It's a lifestyle. You have to apply it. You have to create it for yourself. And to do that, you have to do the exercises. So rather than, read on and read on and then think, oh, that's really cool, and do it for a day or two,
mm-hmm.
you have to be committed for yourself.
The habit.
You have to create new habits.
Right.
So that's the way the book's been designed, is to be able to provide really powerful, easy and challenging at the same time, powerful exercises, and your world just transforms as you do them.
Tony, did we hear you coming in the background there?
No, that was Sam.
Sam, come on in, Sam.
It's almost like what you have talked about for many years. The book is saying to, when you say bring it into action, it's almost like creating the affirmations to redirect your thought process and make it a part of you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the one thing that I really like what you said was that it'll happen when you're ready to do it. You know, you have to be ready to do it. And there's so many things that in our lives that if we're not ready to do it, and I, you know, totally appreciate your story and you know, there's a lot of unfortunate events that happened, but they brought you to a area of life that made it time or made you ready to do it. And there's so many things that go on in our world every day that I call them small miracles, but they're there and they happen every day and they pass by, but we don't see them unless our mind is open to it. So it's almost the same as saying when you're ready to do it, and that's what happens is all these small miracles, all these things that happen in our life. Just like in your book, you're saying, it's imperative that we allow our minds to be open to
right.
the suggestion.
That's right, Sam. That's absolutely correct. I got a question for you.
Okay.
All these small miracles, which do happen every day, at every moment of every day, and the fact that you're aware of them, I think, is phenomenal. The question is, for those people that have a belief that life's meant to be hard, or that, you know, they have very little motivation or are in a frump because life's boring, what do they have to do to open their mind up to the possibilities and miracles around them when their mind is so focused on the negative?
That is an interesting question. And you know mm-hmm. what my answer to that is they have to learn to be servants, because we are servants, one, first, before we are anything else. And most people have too much pride in themselves to think that they can't be a servant. You know, it's one of an old story that I heard, and I don't know where your religious beliefs are or anything, but someone had asked me years ago, I said, why was Adam and Eve put on the earth? I mean, the earth was perfect. God made some wonderful, great creations, and the earth was perfect, and he put Adam and Eve there. Why did he put them there? The answer is to take care of the Garden of Eden, to become a servant.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we have to learn first and foremost. Even, you know, the wealthiest of wealthy, they are servants first. In God's eyes and God's creation of them, they are servants first. And you are doing a magnificent job of being and sharing your story, because it is part, it's your servant. You understand that. I shouldn't say assume, but I'm I'm assuming that you understand that, that you are a servant first.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. That's my intention and motivation.
Right. You know, it's funny. You write books. Gerara writes books. Diane Stevenson isn't with us. And the thing that fascinates me about authors of good books, your motivation for writing this book was not financially driven. It was the desire to share with people, and that's really the basis of all life. It'll happen. It does happen that when people accept this the right way, there probably is increase or financial remuneration. And I have a friend of mine that's an accomplished author. We won't go into his publications and all the scripts he's written. And one of the problems that he has, and we've been talking about it for 40 years, is that he's trying too hard to look at the financial end of it. In other words, so as he's gotten older now, in his sixth decade, he's writing volumes because he loves to write. Do you see what I'm trying to say? That the motivation is to share.
Right.
And he really doesn't give a damn if it gets published or not. And guess what's happening? He's getting more published. Isn't that funny how just switching a thought process? Claire, you mentioned to us that you were diagnosed with the congenital fiber type dysportion myopathy.
Yes.
And you indicated that something happened and you overcame the debilitating effects. I know you briefly touched on it, but can you share a little more of what did you actually do? What focus? I mean, kind of, can you go through the process of how you overcame those debilitating effects?
Absolutely. Certainly I can. For me, it came down to realizing that the more I focused on the fact that I was unwell, the more I became ill, mentally, physically, emotionally. I could hardly walk or stand. I could hardly lift anything. It was a real mess. And when I came to that realization, I decided to ask myself a question. What can I do?
Okay.
What can I do? I can stand. Okay, Claire, stand. So I actually stood in the middle of my living room on the carpet because it was soft in my feet, and I closed my eyes, and I saw myself being successful in business, and I just kept my eyes closed and stood for as long as I could. And then as soon as the pain started, I sat back down, and I thought, cool, how long did I stand for? Okay, 3 minutes. Good job. And I actually, that's what I did. And then I did it again the next day until it got to the point where I could stand for 5, 10. Today I can stand for 2 hours. And I decided, okay, now what can I do? I can do this. This is awesome. It was feeding my confidence, and I was seeing an improvement. It was baby steps, right? And every time I exceeded my last one, it made me feel so darn good about myself that I kept on focusing on what I can do.
And I
went for walks and all.
Right.
Yeah.
So actually, in reality, your mind focus, your presence, the realization of focusing on what you can do allows you to grow. This really has nothing to do with curing a disease. Because I think some people, you know, there is a difference between overcoming a problem and curing. And I mean, I don't know, but are you medically discharged as not having the myopathy anymore, or do you still have the myopathy?
I'm going to have this myopathy my entire life.
Okay, I'm glad you said that. You haven't cured it.
No, it's in my genetic makeup. It's the way my body's built.
Right.
You know what the thing is, though? Like, for an example, if my family and I want to go out for the day and we plan a very active day,
mm-hmm.
I use my wheelchair.
Mm-hmm.
And I use my wheelchair because that allows me the freedom to enjoy a fantastic day with my family and be able to be out for 6 hours rather than for half an hour.
Mm-hmm.
So it gives me a tool to be able to live and enjoy my life. At one time, I was actually really embarrassed. I mean, 30-year-old sitting in a wheelchair. If you looked at me, you would be surprised that I had a problem. And I was kind of embarrassed, and I was really a little angry about it. And then I thought to myself, okay, Claire, that's negative. What can you think instead? And I thought, I'm out with my family. We had a fantastic day, 6 hours, and we went and we saw things I haven't seen before. And I got pushed around like a queen. Oh, imagine that. So I look at it differently. I look at it that it allows me the ability to completely enjoy my life and my day. So it's a tool for me now. Rather than considering it a burden and an embarrassment, it acts as a fantastic tool so I can do more things than before.
Okay. I really appreciate the fact that you said that you don't have a problem of sometimes using the device, okay? I mean, you know, I'm trying to be the wheelchair.
Yeah.
And it's okay to sometimes get on that crutch.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, using that in a metaphorical sense also. But the fact that you do dedicate, and this is what your book focuses on, this is why you ask people to do exercises, and of course it is not built in a day, but I have to repeat again, we focus not on what we can't do, that's bad. We do not focus on what we can't do. We focus on what we can do, and the more we focus on that, the more that habit will become part of us, because as you mentioned, you stood for 10 minutes, 15, 20, and now you walk and so on. So I'm so happy because there are people that write books, we all know this, and talk about the mind, the power of the mind, and they give people, I think sometimes, the false premise that, you know, they're cured, and I'm so pleased that you discuss this in reality.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I have friends and we've had family members. When my mother, we found out she had cancer, she knew that she was not going to be cured. And what she focused on is doing the best she can with what she had while she had it. And it allowed her to, other than pain, it allowed her to, you know, of course, I don't know, but I feel that she felt good about herself the last 2-3 months. So,
something you had mentioned, and it's really interesting, the thought process that we have, the miracle of our mind and the miracle of what our mind can do. You decided that you wanted to, you know, quit looking at the negative side. You look at every bit of positive side, and you can do that as an adult. You know, we do that because, you know, we've talked before, Chuck, as to how we can gravitate towards negativity, or we can gravitate towards positivity, or is that the possible?
Positivity is a good word. Yeah, we accept that word.
So, what you did was you gravitated towards the positive side of what's there. And an interesting thing is I know a young man who at 3 years old, he, and I've talked about him on the show before, he had he was diagnosed or whatever, he had a brain tumor.
Mm-hmm.
He was 3 years old. And they removed, with the brain tumor, they removed the so-called motor skill part of his brain in order for him to live a life. And so then the doctors, these were doctors back in Chicago, the doctor said, we don't know if he'll ever walk again. We don't know what's going to happen. But encourage him. Keep encouraging him every day to move forward. Don't let him be an invalid. And right now the young man is 17 years old, and he plays soccer, and he does all the things that a normal child would do. He has a little bit of, you know, his own little handicaps that he has and part of the operation and whatnot that had happened. But what I'm getting at was that as a three-year-old, he did not have the mindset that, okay, they just removed this part of my mind. They just removed this part of my brain. And so now I can't walk.
He didn't know that.
He didn't know that. And what they said, the doctor said, is it is possible that the brain can restructure different areas to allow him to walk again, to allow him to do these things, to create a different area of motor skills. And that's what he did. He started doing the army crawl, you know, where he'd crawl around, and next thing you know, he decided years later that he wanted to try and sit up, and then he just did it. And then eventually he started walking. It wasn't very easy, but, you know, he's like about a 10-year-old now, and he's just starting to walk. And it allowed him to continue on, and it's just like in your book, you know, you say, or you were just talking about, where he saw all the gifts. He was mm-hmm. not pre-programmed with the negativity of the world. He was a baby, he was a child. He didn't know that side.
That's the beauty of children.
Right. And so if we, as adults, can learn how to turn off all of these negative programs that we've heard throughout our life, that, oh, the devil's with us every day, and, oh, my gosh, this happens every day. And if you walk down the street, you know, rather than having cleared your lungs, you know, you may pass out from the heat, or, you know, all these things that we hear negative.
Mm-hmm.
And you've turned them into positive. And it's just that in itself is a small miracle that we all possess.
Yeah, you're right. What you said, it really speaks home to me. I can tell you that. Also, to reiterate it to some degree, in the book, there's a page that has a telephone pad on it. We know what a phone looks like. We expect the numbers to be in a certain order in a certain spot on the phone when we go to dial our phone number. Even sometimes when you're remembering your own phone number, you can picture the dial pad in your hand, in your mind, and you use your fingers. Okay, yeah, that's it. We've become so accustomed to the way that telephone pad looks. We've programmed our mind to believe it and to expect it to look a certain way. When I was developing that, it was actually inspired from my father. He's a electrical engineer and the head of a department at a factory, and his employees would often go and sneak and use his phone. And so one day he decided to take the phone numbers off of the phone and put them in a different order. Did it ever mess them up? They were unable to use his phone.
Did he physically change the numbers,
yes,
or just change the number? In other words, was the one really three?
No, the number, the visual number of three was on top of the actual one. So you would see a three, but you're pressing one.
Right.
Yeah. And it messed them right up. And when he told me that, I thought, there's a reason. And it inspired me to put it in the book.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
At the same time, there was a young girl. She was about 5 years old, and she was playing with my children. And I asked her, I said, "Hi," I said, "Sweetheart, which one is the telephone? Can you tell me?" And she looked at it with wide eyes and kept looking at it. She looked a bit confused. I said, "Do you know which one?" And she said, "No." And I said, "Have you ever used a phone before?" "No." So in her mind, either one is possible.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
Right.
Rather than programming and expecting and believing this is what it's meant to be, this is what it's supposed to be like, anything's possible. So when you start to, redevelop your mind into proactive, positive habits, they become beliefs, which in turn become expectations. And once that happens, it's second nature. So at first, it takes time. It takes dedication. It's a lifestyle. As you continue to develop these, it becomes second nature. And once that happens, your world opens up. Your eyes become so wide as to what's available, including all those small miracles that happen every day.
You know, you mentioned the exercises, and I did too, the books. Can you share with us one? I mean, I don't want to give the book away, but can you share with us, Claire, one of the exercises that... And remember that people will be listening to this program a year from now. So it's we always say today, tomorrow, and in the future. And but your information is timeless. So can you share with us one exercise that people can do right now that will give them a sense of accomplishment?
Absolutely. I absolutely can. The, you know, you've probably heard this before, that the only person that you can ever change is yourself, right?
Mm-hmm.
The only person you can really help is yourself. You can give information. At the end of the day, it's your choice. Everything starts inside out. Whatever it is you believe of yourself, think of yourself, or feel of yourself impacts you and your reality, and then transfers and impacts your surroundings and your outside world. So in order for you to really get a hold and a grasp of what you're creating, you must start to see yourself as a fantastic human being who has value and has a bloody good reason to be here. So what you do is you do what's called the mirror exercise. It is the most important. It is the first step.
Mm-hmm.
It is the beginning of a fantastic journey. And the mirror exercise, what you do is when you start your day, whatever time that is for you, you go into your bathroom or wherever. You look in the mirror. You look right in your eyes, because your eyes are the window to your soul. It is actually a challenge at first for many people to look straight in their eyes. You look straight in your eyes and you give yourself a compliment. You give yourself a valid, meaningful, meaningful and real compliment. And at first, for some people, it could be as much as, thank you for doing your best, or I appreciate you, or for me today, I love you, Claire. You're freaking fantastic. You're making a positive difference. And that's the way I feel about me. I can look in the mirror. I don't even have to use a mirror. I believe and I love me. I love me for everything that I am, everywhere I've been, and everything I'm doing going forward. And because I feel that about me, I am quite confident to talk to anybody. I smile at different people. I view people differently. I accept people for who they are because I accept me for who I am. So it starts a trickle effect. It's kind of like if you're a pebble and you drop it in the water, the waves expand from the pebble. Well, that's what you do. When you start to really see yourself and the value you have, then you send out a ripple effect, and it naturally affects everyone and everything around you. At one time, I used to be an incredibly shy person. Believe it or not, I would rarely talk. I was so shy, so timid. Today, if you put me up in front of 500 people, I would have a blast. I would have so much fun. And it all started with the mirror exercise. I went from self-loathing to self-acceptance, appreciation, and the all-powerful love.
You know, Claire, you and I are on the same wavelength, and I think most of the people with us, because we've all been together here, even though you haven't been with us, we think the same. Why do you think it is, or what? When did this pervasive nature come into our society that does not like people, or we're not encouraged to do something like the mirror exercise? In other words, I keep reading about all of this stuff of developing self-esteem in children, and yet when you look at the structure that they've put in place, there's no self-esteem built because there's no creativity allowed.
Mm-hmm.
And how did this happen? I mean, because people say, well, it's not nice for you to love yourself. You're a very selfish person, you know. And I'm a little bit older than you are. I have a child your age, but I've in my lifetime I have seen this, because I remember so well my friends when I was in Chicago growing up as a little boy and playing with my friends on the street. We were encouraged by the neighbors. We were encouraged by our parents. We were encouraged by strangers, the mailman who saw us daily and gave us a gum. But for some reason, I believe there's been a change in direction under the guise of trying to help people. And have you noticed this, or in talking to people, do they have a hard time saying, I am good?
Absolutely. It is one of the biggest challenges. It's quite interesting. People can accept, can give compliments easily.
Mm-hmm. But
we
can't
have been
accept
conditioned
them.
To be people pleasers.
Mm-hmm.
We please our spouse, we please our children, we please our boss, we please our neighbor, we please, 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 please.
Mm-hmm.
We become so accustomed to living that lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And having that habit, we've come to expect that. And therefore, we look outside of ourselves for happiness. We look outside of ourselves for feeling value or for having what we want in our life. We do this and we look all outside.
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes actually time to look at yourself and say, you know, geez, you're a damn good you're an awesome person.
Yeah.
It's foreign. It is foreign to the way we think. It is foreign to the way we've programmed our mind. And therefore, if it's foreign in your mind and your beliefs and the patterns that you've developed over your years, your mind naturally rejects it.
Mm-hmm.
It's an instant rejection. It's almost like going to school. If you're a mathematician, okay, and sitting in a Shakespeare class, it's foreign. So it's really, really difficult for your brain to process that information and to accept it at first.
Right.
So therefore, when it comes to feeling good about ourselves, to really, and you know, being selfish, that's a good thing.
It is good.
It's a limited belief. The word selfish has a negative connotation. You know what? Everybody does everything through self.
Mm-hmm.
It's through your eyes. It's through your world. It's through your experiences. Your choices are based on you, good or bad, negative or positive. Pleasing someone makes you feel good. So again, selfish.
Right.
That's a good thing. It's okay.
Right. Well, you know, that saying we've discussed on this show over and over again, the fact that I can't give to you until I have given to myself the permission to be myself.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and we have a business development show on Wednesday nights because all this ties together. If, you know, going back when I was 17, reading Think and Grow Rich. Think and Grow Rich did not mean Think and Grow Rich necessarily with huge amounts of money, but the Grow Rich, you know. But I can't give. You know, everybody says you have to give more to get more.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I have to have something to give.
Right.
And until I've got myself organized, it's impossible for me to give honestly and sincerely. And this is why, and I've mentioned this on this show and on the other show, I was privileged to meet as a young person and be surrounded by some innovators. And none of them were ever motivated by making money. They were motivated to solve problems for people and the rest, but that's what they were giving, you know. But they had, the more they got, the more they were able to give. Then they started endowing foundations, then they started sharing more. But that was not their original premise, you know what I mean?
Right.
But they had a good handle of themselves, and I think this is what your book, which, by the way, everybody, again, the book, the program today is being brought to you by the book, I Believe, Therefore I Am, and you can get your copy, a very affordably priced book, You Can Build, that's pretty simple, .it, it's an Italian domain, youcanbuild.it, /, whatever that slash is, capital I, lowercase believe, and the exercises, the things that Claire has shared with us today are phenomenal. There's another thing that really fascinated me because I live on the river and obviously I spend way too much time fishing. The salmon are roiling this morning and we're on this show. That's terrible. Catch and release.
Mm-hmm.
That's another exercise in the book. Catch and release. Can you take just a second or two, and I'm going to have to, we're going to, unfortunately, we can do this again, by the way. You know, you're more than happy to join us every Tuesday, or we'll specifically have you back because I know you have much more to share. Can you share with us a little bit about catch and release, please?
Yeah, absolutely. Catch and release is a very, very important exercise. Anything that you're doing in your life, if there's a challenge, if you have a perceived challenge to be able to attain it, then there's a reason. And the reason is because there's a cause that is dictating your future outcomes, your future experiences. In life, we have a tendency to address results every time they happen. You get into an argument with somebody, and then you deal with just that argument, or you ignore it. Or this happened, you deal with that and only that. There's a pattern that's produced throughout your lifetime. When you react a certain way each time to a similar experience, or you have experiences that continue to repeat themselves, that's a pattern. Anytime you are looking to achieve something which up to now has been a challenge for you, it's because rather than getting to the root cause that's dictating these results, it's simply dealing with only the results. You can only ever change an outcome when you have recognized the root cause. And that's what this catch and release is all about. Catch and release is an exercise where you ask yourself very important questions. You step outside yourself for a moment and you look at it from a knowledge standpoint, really understanding the entire scope to get back to the cause. So you ask yourself, what's the pattern in my life? That's a good one. What's the pattern in my life? What do I keep producing? What's the result I keep seeing? Okay. What's the circumstance? Identify the circumstance. Once you know the pattern, go back in your life to determine where it started. What was the circumstance? Write it down. Acknowledge it. And then how does it make me feel? Not how did it make me feel, how
does it
make me feel? Because I tell you, it is impacting you and influencing you even today. So how does it make me feel? And you can write a sentence, a paragraph, or one or two words. Just let your mind go and write. Write it down. After you've done that, in big, bold lettering, you put, I am valid. You have every right to feel. There is no such thing as underreacting or overreacting. There's merely reacting, because the reactions and emotions you have are coming from your subconscious reality, your subconscious mind. You're allowed. You are allowed. So allow it. Feel.
Catch and release. I love that. I love that. And Claire, again, let me see if anybody else joined us. I let my thingy go by. We still have...
I love that idea that you just said, Claire, about there's just reaction. There's no such thing as overreaction or underreaction. There's just reaction. And that tells the story of that person. I mean, that is really poetic to say it that way, because you're right. I mean, there is just a reaction. And we need to see if that reaction falls, and you know, it's kind of interesting. We need to see if it falls within the, I hate to say the word, say constraints, but within the perimeter of who that person is or who that person is working at being. And that's an excellent way of saying it. There's just reaction. So does that reaction reflect who you are?
Yeah.
Or who you're working to be. That's excellent.
Hello?
Yep, you're back. You back. I saw we lost you for a moment.
Yeah, the phone cut.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
That happens. And I unfortunately left the console here for a moment, and we did have a guest 13 with us, and none of you others are online, and they seem to be a local person. We love you, Mr. Corning. Don't be all about Corning. Spread your love. Well, I'm not, you know, we haven't talked about Corning, California today. But anyway, I just want to, guest 13, if you ever come back and listen to us, we do want to give you give you recognition for being with us, and I'm sorry I didn't have my console up. Again, we have been privileged and honored to have Claire McGee, the author of I Believe, Therefore I Am. The one thing that is also unique, and we've learned that Claire is now and has been, because she took charge of herself and she believed in herself, therefore she is, that may not be good English, but we said it anyway. When a person purchases this book, do they really get a free coaching session with you?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah, absolutely. The goal is they come and they talk to me for about an hour. So each person's a bit different, right? And we what's your goal?
Right.
What's your purpose for this? For this book? What would you like to see from it?
Mm-hmm.
What is the current experience you're having? And then from there, I give a recommendation based on what I've heard from the individual.
Sure.
The way to go about it.
Very good. And we want to emphasize again, you have learned that you, Claire, possess a power. Of course, now I'm going to take that away a little bit. And we all possess a power if we just give ourselves the opportunity to expand upon it. But you've learned that you have a power to help people, to help others. And you're actually doing this, and even though you do offer a free coaching session, I hope that everybody on this show understands that if you want to spend more time with Claire, as if you want to spend more time with anybody that's good at what they do, there will probably be a modest cost attached to it. It's just like buying this book. You know, there's a lot of people that give you free books. Mr. Tony Michalski, Callisti Publishing, is with us, who published the book, and Claire, of course, who spent her time and energy writing it. This book is for sale, folks, and it's modestly priced. If anyone who has a sincere belief that they can accomplish and learn how to become more or develop the ability to unleash the power from within, I suggest you go to youcanbuild.it/I and lowercase the word believe, I believe. Claire, would you like to come back and visit us again? Or
I would absolutely love the opportunity
okay.
to do that. It's been a lot of fun, and I'm really, really, really thankful for being here. And you're a fantastic host.
Well, thank you.
You have a very nice voice. You really do. You are definitely born for showbiz.
Well, you know, I really appreciate the compliment. Thank you very much. And I have spent a good portion of my life behind a microphone. And it's interesting that the majority of that was my giving to my communities. This next weekend, I am going to be spending Friday, Saturday, and Sunday announcing an event, and I will be compensated, but for years, the majority, I won't say all, the majority was sharing. But guess how it came back to me? I happened to be in an industry that I was announcing events for, and without any advertising at all, the people who happened to be in the market for that which I was selling and manufacturing would just automatically call me, you know, without having any overt advertisements. So that's where I have evolved, and this is from my reading early on and as a 17, 18-year-old, you know, where we talk about the more you give, the more you get, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that all of us have the power to share. And one thing I want to emphasize to, we've got Claire with us, Tony, Gerara, I'm surprised Diane Stevenson. Everyone has the ability to put down on paper your thoughts. Share them with yourself first, but never be afraid to share your thoughts with other people. One way I do it, I find it very difficult because of a little bit of an infirmity of typing. I do write, but I speak. So this is my book. You know, and this opportunity is available to anybody. Anybody can have a show like this. And if anybody's interested, drop me an email, chuckbartok@gmail.com. I mentioned it to Claire. I think Claire would have an outstanding, she could actually have a subscription-based talk show because she has so much to share. And we're going to look forward to seeing you again. I want to thank Claire from Nova Scotia, Tony Michalski, Gerara King, Sam Camerano, guest 13. Thank you all very much. I do have to close the show down. Remember, all 321 episodes are available for download. This episode will be available in about 10 minutes. Thank you all very much. Thank you, Claire. I'm going to be speaking to you personally very soon, okay?
Okay.
Thank you very much. Tony, did you have anything to say before we go?
Nothing at all. Claire's an amazing woman. That's why I published her book. And, you know, as you alluded to earlier in the episode, you know, it's in a sea of snake oil sales, Claire is the real medicine.
Yeah.
And it shines through in her book, in her coaching, in the way she speaks, comports herself, everything about her. And that's why I published her.
And we're awfully glad that you did publish her, because if you hadn't published her, I wouldn't know her. So thank you very much.
Hey, one thing I wanted to share with you, this is Sam, before you shut the show off, is you had mentioned for those who are interested in making a change, something that we don't realize is as long as we're breathing, as long as we're above ground, we are always changing. So even for those who may not think they are interested in making a change, it's always great to read a book like this.
You bet.
To see and to understand where you are in life.
Thank you, Sam. You always finish with such great topics, you know.
Yeah, I like that one too.
Well,
really,
Claire, you would really enjoy getting to know Sam. We met just about the time I came online, because he called me on a cold call solicitation. He was living in Chicago at the time, and of course I'm in marketing and advertising, and I subscribe heavily to calling people. And what was unique is Sam called me. I happened to own the product he was soliciting for, and we started talking, and I just complimented him for calling a stranger, which he did, and we haven't been strangers ever since. So
that's fantastic.
It's amazing.
Yeah, Sam, send me an email anytime. I'd love to pick your brain and hear more of your thoughts. You have some really great insight.
Thank you, and I'd be glad to talk.
Okay.
I do that.
He does talk.
As a caller.
Anyway, but I've got to run to town because everybody's waiting for me down there, and I hate to cut the show off, but it is 9:25, and we will be back next Tuesday, and Claire, I will talk to you probably in the next few hours or drop you an email, okay?
Perfect, Chuck. Thank you very much, everyone. You have a fantastic day.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.